connected to the church today. Happy to see you. Hope you had a good night's rest. And hope you had a good week. And now we have come to continue our worship. I thank the choir very much for their musical rendition. Always inspired by the choir, inspired by the young people. And I took note that you were here early. And the musicians that came to play for service. And for those of you who have seen it fit to come to the first service, I also want to thank the pastor for inviting me here to speak. And Lady Goldie, happy to see you, and the fact that you visited our church, and we are always willing to accommodate our people from Jamaica to join with their people of Jamaica, to let them know we are a proud people. We are happy to identify with the cause of God. Brother Murray, his brother is one of the elders in my church. So I can't get away from the Murrays. Your brother is so devoted to the church. I wish you could have the qualities like him. He's at every service, and I know you are the same. At the Good Samaritan Inn, and I just want to say, Brother Murray, that our church expressed our deepest sympathy to you and the loss of your mother. She was there with us during that summer. But it's a road that we all have to take. And so my pastor, I'm happy to be here today. You know, I sat in his office this week. And he sat in his executive chair. And I sat in the seat in front of him. And I said, Pastor, I feel so good today. Years ago, in my youthful years, I had a meeting one Sunday night. And at the meeting, a senior minister was with me. I made a call. And the Holy Spirit brought people forward. And the senior minister turned to me, Pastor Holiness, said to me, if I were you, Pastor, I would begin a crusade tonight. And I turned to him and said, Pastor, I thank you very much for that suggestion, but I see a little further. I think I'm going to pitch a tent in this area. He smiled. And I began searching for a spot, and somebody said to me, Pastor, I have a dashing field, but you can have it to pitch the tent. And I pitched the tent. Preach night after night. A 130 souls were baptized. But strange enough, a young man came to the meeting every night. Understand. He come every night, but he had indicated to me when he is going to be baptized. We prayed in our workers' meeting with the other workers And I remember we were coming down to the close of the meeting. Right, my father. Coming to the close of the meeting. And I was coming from the river all soaked. And I said, this is the last of the meeting. And a young man walked up to me and said, Father, would you baptize me next week in the river? I said, King, I would do anything for you. He wasn't the most well-behaved in the community. But that young man gave his heart to the Lord Jesus. And his name is Lorenzo King. So you knew how I feel when I sat in his office. If you had given me $10 million, I would say I refused it. But for one soul that was saved in God's kingdom, and in talking to him, something that really came home to me. He said, Pastor, if you had not had that meeting at that time, I would be either dead or in jail. That's the power of the gospel. It takes us from where we are and put us to where we should be. Where would we be but for the grace of God? And I thank God for that small opportunity to be used by God to accomplish that task. During those days, it weren't easy. But thanks be to God. We give him all the praise. My prayer for you, as I said to you, from you will be born thousands who will accept the Lord Jesus Christ from your ministry. Continue to keep the focus. Continue to press forward. Never leave the standing on the rock. And one of these days I will see, along with all those who have accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, born in the kingdom. You would never dream, and I would never dream, that places over the years would be exchanged. And I would be now looking down to you as the most behaved young man in that community, now pastoring one of our premier churches in the city of Kingston. If I were told then, I would not believe it, but for the word of God. It has the power of transformation, and I thank God for that. Let my head for prayer. Gracious God and our Father, thank you so much for the privilege today of speaking your word in Jesus' name. Today, I want to focus on the topic, excuses, excuses. And at this time of the year, during the month of February, we generally celebrate Black History Month. In America, in the Caribbean, in countries like Jamaica. And why do we do that? Because we need to highlight the contribution of a people of color to the development of world civilization. For centuries, we as a people of color have been oppressed and repressed by slavery and colonialism. Some have sought to brush it aside. But I want to say to you this morning that the Jews never forget the Holocaust. They never let us forget it. And we too must never forget the sacrifices of those, even on our land, like Paul Bogle, Sam Sharp, William Gordon, and Marcus Garvey. They have to prepare the way for us today. You know, Mandela, in his book, The Long Walk to Freedom, says, "For myself, I have never regretted my commitment to the struggle. I was always prepared to face the hardship that affected me personally. But my family paid a terrible price, perhaps too dear a price for any commitment." Some have given their lives. They were jailed. They were imprisoned. In fighting for justice, equality, economic stability, all because of the color of their skin. Those who protested against injustice were attacked with dogs, beaten by police, sprayed with water hoses, hanged, houses burnt, their women raped, and their girl raped. And every now and then, the ugly head of racism raises its head. It is still alive. But thanks be to God, the worst is behind us. We can't go back. We must now go forward. We can't be making excuses for our failures, blaming slavery and colonialism. But we must now move forward and seize the opportunity and seize the moment. Long has been the road to freedom. I want you to look again at the text that I read, that was read for the scripture portion. And you may wonder what the text has to do with excuses, what the text has to do with black history. So turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. Chapter 30, 24 to 28. It says, "There are four things which are little upon the earth. They are exceedingly wise. Four things that are little upon the earth. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat for the summer. The conies are but feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in the king's palace." Four things upon the earth that are small, yet they are extremely smart.
without entrusting. They are small creatures, but they make no excuse for not fulfilling their God-given purpose in life. And so why should we, as humans, who are not only extremely smart, but infinitely smarter than the lowly creatures, make excuses and not make an effort to fulfill our God-given potential? The ants are social creatures. You see a picture of the ants. They form colonies, and they are highly organized. Some are workers, and some are soldiers. And the workers never do what the soldiers do, and vice versa. The ant society have divisions of labor, and communication between them is superb. And they have the ability to solve complex problems. Remember what we said, they are extremely smart, and they are small creatures, and they see movement very well. And the wise man Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 6:6-8, he says, "Go to the ant, thou what? Sluggard, and consider her ways, and be what? Wise, which having no guide, no overseer, no ruler." Isn't that interesting? No guide, no overseer, no ruler, provided her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest. The hands are what you call anticipatory intelligence. They anticipate that the winter is coming, and they have to plan a strategy to prepare food for the winter. What lesson can we learn from the ants that we can apply to ourselves as people of color? As humans, we must not excuse our goal has been too big for us. For our God is bigger than our problems or our goal. My God is bigger than my problem and my goal. The servant of the Lord, Ellen G. White, says we must meet all obstacles placed in our way and overcome them one at a time. If we overcome the first difficulty, we shall be stronger to meet the next, and at every effort we'll become better able to make advancement. Ellen White also says we must be masters of circumstances and not slaves of them. We must anticipate what we can become through Christ. And I suppose, my pastor, when we came almost to the end of the baptism, God must have given you some vision, what you can become if you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus. No wonder the text says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become as new. move on now to our main text again. The Koine. In verse 23. The Koine are but a feeble folk.
A what folk?
Feeble. You know who is feeble? It's somebody who is not strong. And we're all getting there. When we get feeble, we just barely make a step. Feeble folk. They live in dry areas and they eat quickly with the family group, facing out from a circle, but they watch for danger. They eat quickly, but they look around at people folk if they are going to be attacked. They're always on guard. They don't dig burrows. They live in the crevice of the rock. They make no excuses for being feeble. They practice protective intelligence. In order to survive, they must protect themselves. What lesson can we learn from the Koine? We must practice protective intelligence and guard against the devil who wants to destroy us so that we cannot reach our goal. And Satan doesn't want any one of you to make heaven as your home. What lesson can we learn from this creature? We must practice protective intelligence and guard against the devil. We must guard against laziness, inventing crutches, excuses, blaming our past. The future is what matters now. As we invent our preferred future by moving high upon the rock, Christ Jesus. No wonder the songwriter says, "Oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflict, in sorrow lone hour, so sinful, so weary, thine would I be, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee." We move to the locust. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. They have no leader. Let they move with synchronism of a well-trained army, and they will devour acres and acres of vegetation, of crops. Overnight, the locust can travel great distance, rapidly tripping fields and damaging crops. But if they attempt to do it one by one, it is impossible. They have a participatory intelligence, willingness to cooperate with others to get the mission accomplished. One best indicator of readiness to lead is willingness to follow. Let me say here, any church that succeeds has to have participatory intelligence. We have to move together as one people. And I pause here to say, you see what happened in Egypt? After 30 years, Mubarak thought that he could continue. And he says, I'm not leaving office. I'm staying. He forget that his era is gone. He was living in a different world. And the people said, oh yes, we're going to show you. Because you see, with the modern technology that you have today, it's a different world we have come to live in. And overnight he realized that he have come to live in a different world. And he went on television and said, I'm not leaving until September. The people said, we show you. We're not leaving. This country is ours. Then we heard on the news that he left town. But they did it when they realized that they had to move together as one people. The lesson we can learn from the locust, we must develop our leadership by using our initiative to cooperate, participate with others to accomplish our goal as we move forward. No cooperation, no moving forward. Excusing for having no leader, get the people from nowhere, from anywhere to nowhere. Have a goal in life, and if no one wants to go with you, cooperate with yourself and with God. And go it alone, because Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be by your side. And the church is so powerful if we cooperate together. One general asked the great French general Napoleon Bonaparte, what is the greatest miracle of modern time? Napoleon looked at his generals and said, the greatest miracle of modern time is the church of the living God. In spite of the obstacles, the church survives. Because we have one aim and we have one goal, and that is heaven at last. And then, the last one that we have in our thing, our scripture, the spider. It taketh hold with her hand and is in the king's palace. The spiderly skillfully grasps with its hand and is in the king's palace. The spider is not intimidated by the top house. When I read that, that's where the spider wants to be. In the top house. Spiders have ambitious intelligence. The spider is not intimidated by tall buildings. It is determined to get to the top. And when I read that, I said, ah, what a lesson for Black history. There was a time when the black man who worked in the White House had to go through the back door.
Yes.
Had to come through the back door.
Yes.
Couldn't come through the front door.
Oh, no.
But the spider was making its way to the front door.
Yes.
And now there's a black spider in the White House. That black spider coming. And if he doesn't win the next term, he has colored the color that has been there. And here's another thing too. One of the two most powerful and popular persons in the world today are black.
One Obama. Two Oprah.
When she started,
poor.
That's why I say when you start little and poverty and things,
don't worry about it. But she was smart.
But they weren't looking at her because she was black.
Ah, that little black woman not reaching anywhere.
So she continued to do what she's doing.
You know, I was listening, looking at a documentary, and one of the media men who were Pierre Morgan was interviewing her. And he said, how is it that everything you touch turns gold?
A white man saying that, how is everything you touch turn gold? And as I saw him bending down and saying, touch me, touch me. Talk about touching us. They wouldn't want you to see us.
I'm far away. The peace. Suffering.
Lessons we can learn from the spider is that there is always room at the top. Always room at the top. So like the spider, you can climb as high as you can. For God, ideal is your ideal. You all have infinite possibilities. And those who do not want much out of life won't get very much out of life. If you don't want much, you won't get much. Ellen White says, balanced by religious principle, you may climb to any height you please. We would be glad to see you rising to noble elevation God designed that you shall reach. Other people, we have suffered much. Coming from the continent of Africa, our forefathers have suffered. And you always have to keep that in mind. Southern died on the way, the middle passage, on the way to the New World. Millions died in the Atlantic Ocean. Their bodies were thrown in the Atlantic, and that is the graveyard for millions and millions. Life has always been a struggle for us, the people of color. It has never been easy. Some of you can testify from where you came from. Your parents had it hard. But thank be to God, life is a little better today than what it was. And with all the suffering that we have been through as the people of color, we have managed to survive. Have you ever thought about it? They couldn't kill us all. They tried to, but they couldn't kill us. We provided the labor for the rich nation. And they gave us the crumbs. And they're still giving us the crumbs. Like the black spider, we keep crawling and using our initiative to reach there. And I want to tell you, I have to commend some of our people from here who have children there. Some of your children are very bright. They're doing very well. But all that I ask is that of them all the time is that they never leave the church. Never abandon the church. And if they stay with the church, God will continue to bless them. cares about us, the people of color. And you know why he cares about us? When Jesus was bearing the cross on the road to Golgotha, the place of the skull, and the soldiers shot, "Oh yes, there is a black man, Simon of Cyrene. We can put the cross on him. He better carry it." And Simon of Cyrene took the cross and helped the Savior along the road to Golgotha. And the Heavenly Father looked down from heaven and saw that and decided that his hand will forever be upon the black race. And one of these days we will be in heaven. Hallelujah. There's one thing about black people, they are serious about their religion. They want to know him better. And so the black national anthem is, "Lift up your voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let us rejoice and rise high as the lightning skies. Let us resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing full of the hope that the present has brought us. Faith in the rising sun of our new day begin. Let us march till the victory is won. Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat, have not our weary feet come to the place for which our fathers died. We have come over a way that with tears have watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered. Out of the gloomy path, till now we stand at last. We are white gleams of our bright star. Because God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us thus far on our way. Thou who hast by thy might lead us into light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee. Lest our heart drunk of the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shattered beneath thy high hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land. May you remain true to God. Always, one of these days, the people of color will march through the gates into the city. But as we march through the gates into the city, now that we have won freedom, freedom demands responsibility. What is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to help somebody else on board. Sometimes we forget that we don't help those who are behind, but help somebody. Help a poor family that doesn't have it, but need their children to go to school together. Help somebody. Because remember this, regardless what you have in life, if I can help somebody, has I passed along? If I can help somebody, has I passed along? Then my living will not be in vain. Help them. Simply so that others can simply live. Let everybody share the pie together. As black people, that is our mission now. To help people. Help as many. So that others can simply live and remain true to God. Amen.